That's the sound we was looking for. Hey, what's up, everybody? CL King and my man over there to the other side, brother Mike Black, here in the house. And we're here at Impact Life 24/7, our international podcast, which can be heard in 66% of all states in the U.S. Man, I'm just blown away. Mike, remember when we first started, brother?
Yes.
Well, we like
Blooper.
To forget. What you say?
Blooper's real.
We like up. To forget it, wouldn't we?
We should keep it though. We went from here to there.
Right, man. And you know, the truth of the matter is that I was thinking about, you know, like some of the equipment that we had, that I had. I had some really ghetto equipment, stuff falling all over the place, man. It was fun though, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for those of you that listen to Impacting Life 24/7, we want you to know that this has been a progression since we started this mission back in 2019. It's a progression of a whole bunch of things, a progression of me as a person, a progression of Mike and our team. But our focus has still been the same, even when we was ghetto on day one, right, Mike?
Yes, yes, yes. We stayed true to who we are.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, is that it's all about impacting lives and right. Bringing people on with us that can share their story. And I like what you told me one time, Mike, that we don't chase a lot of other, you know, hot button topics because we want to stay true to who we are.
Right. That's right, man. For sure. I mean, I've heard comments that, you know, the show is just so refreshing and it lifts people up. So we impact life, not just the people that come on tell us how they impact life. We're impacting other people's lives and lifting people up, motivating them and spurring them on, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I think really when you can hone in on, now, look, I just found out in 2020 that you don't say niche anymore. The word is niche.
Niche.
I've been saying niche my whole life, man. Who in the world? Do you say niche or do you say niche?
I don't say that. I can't think of any time that I would say that.
Well,
I do say a lot of funny stuff, but
Mike says I don't say that word. No, okay, so like if you like whatever your niche is, you see, that's why you say your niche, like whatever your gifting is or your groove.
Right. I think another word I use for it, but I can't remember right now.
Yeah, but they came out and said that niche is not the right pronunciation of it. It's niche.
Wow.
But it just doesn't sound, as pointed, you know, like this is my niche, or I say this is my niche. You know what I mean? That's that's like having leather gloves and crocheted gloves, you know?
Right. It sounds kind of weird. It really does.
I know what your mind was thinking. So I know. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for tuning in to a special broadcast with my friend, my co-host, Mr. Mike Black. Of course, the VP is at the 500-yard line keeping us straight. And the VP is Greg Smith. And Greg says no N-words. It's niche, brother. What are you talking about, Greg? Oh, when I think about, you know, what we're trying to do and what we're efforting to do, I really do step back and say, wow, man, you know, God has given us this platform to really shape and change the world, man. You know, like those girls, remember those young ladies we had on the other night, the two twins? What a story, man. And it will help us tonight. I was thinking a lot about them as I was preparing for today. But fatherhood is what our topic is tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And again, you're listening to Impacting Life 24/7. You're watching it live and, of course, on 20 different other platforms. Even if you say Alexa, did you know that, Black?
I didn't know that.
If you say Alexa, play Impacting Life 24/7, they go start playing it.
Wow. So Alexa, play Mike and Chris.
No. You got to have the right title, bro.
You're saying, I know.
Right,
I
but know, you know, but, and right. and you know, thanks to our friends at Podbean, who we use as our host platform, because it really has helped But I also think that not just that, but our collaborations with other, you know, podcasters and affiliates have really helped. Our sponsors who help sponsor the show have, man, you're one of the sponsors. All of that has really just grown into this organism of impact, man. And I'm blessed to have it. So when we talk about fatherhood, Mike, you and I said the other day that we celebrated Father's Day. And I just felt like for me, that Father's Day is kind of a muted, celebratory, cursory, obligatory thing on the calendar, right? You know,
it is. Very much so. And it's kind of like almost like how dads are treated at Christmas,
right?
Because you get some socks, some underwear,
right?
A gift card, $5 gift card to Starbucks. It's like, yeah, really?
Right.
What? I bought you a PS4 or a brand new laptop.
You know, when our kids give us a card, we better not dare open it slow and hope something falls out. But my kids got me this time, bro. They got me a card and they put $7 in it.
Wow.
Well, they said, "Oh, there's significance. It's of your seven kids." And I said, "Okay, I'm gonna start hooking y'all up like that. I'm gonna put $1 in there for y'all. This is for you. That's one daughter there and $1 there, you know." But you know, we laugh about it. But truth of the matter is, you know, when you go to the restaurant on Mother's Day, what's going to be the wait?
Yeah, it's out down the street.
Right, right.
You know, and everybody's dressed up, and right. Cousin Ray Ray and
purple suits
over there, purple suits, and Tito and Tony and our mom and all them. It's like, yeah. Oh my Lord.
Yeah, but with Father's Day, you can walk right. You can walk.
Father's Day, walk right in there, and you hear walk, walk, walk. Like, oh my stars, man.
I walk up to the thing like, on Father's Day, yes, how long is the wait? Sorry, sir, there is no wait.
Right. Exactly. Or can we get a discount for what, sir?
Yeah, for
it's
what?
Father's Day. It's Father's Day. Oh, we don't have those kind of discounts.
Get back there and wash those dishes.
come back on Mother's Day, loser. It's like, oh my gosh. You know what I'm saying?
Come yeah. On, hey, we'll give you our Mother's Day coupon for you to use on Father's Day.
No doubt, man.
Ooh. Oh, man. Greg says this was his best Father's Day ever. 3 vintage shirts, a Fitbit, and a junk trunk. No money. Man, Greg got a Fitbit. Greg, are you getting back into exercise? You should just come on camera with us. You know, Greg loves to hide. I say hi, but Greg loves to lay behind the scenes. But Greg is the man. That brother is a forensics brother. And so, I would love for y'all to get more to see more of him. He said Pookie and them too. Katrina said Pookie and them came for Mother's Day, but you can't get Pookie to show up for Father's Day.
No, for sure.
Pookie waiting on his... He waiting on his check cashing, account to reconcile before he can get back out and get some more money.
No doubt, man.
Sorry,
no
Dad. Can't give you no love, buddy.
No doubt, man.
So, you know, I wanted to take this night and this show to do it with a friend and spend some time talking about fatherhood. You know, Mike, we always talk before the show. Hey, how are we going to dress? Appearance is important because we do a live show for those of you listening on Impact and Life 24/7. And so a lot of nights I dress business casual. Even sometimes I wear a bow tie. Mike asked me tonight, was I wearing a bow tie or a hoodie? Cause you never know, you know, we keep it fresh, but we wanted to just have a conversation where people can join in and, you know, give their thoughts. You can put them in the comments or you can call. I'll let you guys call in 252-622-2561. I used to be apprehensive about giving out my number, but if you're a spammer, I just want to answer the phone, you know, so,
right.
You know what I mean? So you can call in if you've got some comments or thoughts about fatherhood and your experiences, 252-622-2561. Greg, you can put that in the chat, man. I don't mind giving out my number. Usually I give out Greg's number everywhere we go, Mike, but you know, I said, I like for everybody to prank call him. But now, you know, times are so much different, man. It's just like, let's get connected. So sure. when you think about fatherhood, what is your initial thoughts, man, when we say that overarching title of fatherhood? What have you been ruminating on, Mike?
So here's how what I think about it, right? Think about fatherhood. First, I think about it as the experiences that were modeled to you as a young boy, adolescence, young adulthood, middle age. It's a progression that never yeah. stops. So as you age, you know, you're constantly looking to your father for modeling. Right. And so I read you guys a staggering statistic I pulled up, and it talked about fathers not being in the picture. Here's just a basic Google search.
Mm-hmm.
It said that 18.3 million children in the U.S., 1 in 4, live without a biological father, stepfather, or adoptive father in the home.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, wow, okay. So then it went on to say that you are 4 times more likely to end up in poverty, 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen, 2 times more likely to suffer from obesity, 2 times more likely to drop out of high school, 4 times likely to face neglect or abuse, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, more likely to have behavior problems, and more likely to go to prison. So this is a very serious thing in our country and probably in the world, but that just blew me away looking at that and thinking, and I reflect on in my life how blessed I was
yeah.
to have two fathers. See, I was so blessed. And the more I age, the more I realize that God blessed me tremendously with two fathers, because there's so many people that didn't have not one.
Right.
And you know, hey, it was what it was. I was scared to death as a kid, knowing that I'd get beat twice when I was at my mom and stepdad's house and then my dad. So I never got away with nothing, man.
You know,
they got me coming and going.
That's funny, man. Like, back in the days, man, I remember thinking about that, Mike. This has nothing to do with fatherhood, but it does have something to do with how, you know, we think we so technically savvy and word gets around right. instantly in the world. But man, right. if you cut up at Miss Rachel's house down the street, by the time I got home, somehow she got word that Chris was down here cutting up. And man, I'm just like, man, they ain't got no cell phones, no fax machines, no Twitter, no nothing. But man, that word could get out. And yeah, you're right. You could be the stepdad's house and dad's house. Here's one thing that I recognize in the cases and the statistics, because you know I'm a statistical analysis genius. Yes, one of the things that I recognize is that stats don't lie.
Right?
Stats don't lie. We sometimes say, well, King, you should be a statistics. You should be a statistic. And the statistics were stacked against me. But truthfully, that had a lot to do with the investment of my foster parents and my making life choices.
Right.
But when you look at when you look at the statistic that says remove this element out of a young person's life, right. remove this foundational piece
right.
out of a young person's life. These, I mean, you just listed off a lot, man. Let's hear those again, man, just for our listening right. audience and for those that will tune in a little bit sure. later, because you listed off a bunch. Let's look at each one. Go ahead.
Sure. So again, it's off a basic Google search, mm-hmm. fatherhood.org, some staggering statistics. 18.3 million children in the U.S., 1 in 4, live without a biological father, stepfather, or adoptive father in the home.
Stop. Okay, so right there, 1/4 of all, what was the age group? Is it all?
It didn't, okay. Yeah, it didn't give age.
Okay,
group. It
so
just said that 18.3 million 18, children.
Okay,
in the US,
so all.
One out of four.
Right, 1 out of 4. 1/4 of all kids in the U.S., over 18 million of them, here's where they start. If they do not have a father yep. in the home.
No, father figure, stepfather, or adopted parent.
Stepfather,
so there's no male adopted. In the home.
There's no male presence in the home. Now, let me just put this disclaimer out there, okay? This is not a you need men in your life for everyone thinking that. Don't go down that road with us, okay? That's not what we're talking about, okay? We're talking about obviously it took two to create you. So we wanted to focus on us being dads. We wanted to focus on the component that we are familiar with. I'm just thankful for moms, but I know what my role is. So when you talk about one quarter of all kids in the U.S., they're starting at the gate without a man in the home. What's the next?
So basically it says these are some of the effects.
Go ahead.
When you don't have that, it says you're four times more likely to end up in poverty.
Stop. Four times more likely to end up in poverty because when we looked at the starting gate, there's not a father, a stepfather, adopted father, not in the home. You're four right. times more likely to wind up in poverty. Go on.
Right. And so I want to just add to your point, it doesn't mean that all those moms out there that are holding it down and right. playing two roles, it doesn't take away from them at all.
Right.
That's not the point. It's just showing a cause and effect. When you don't have a man in the house, father figure, to mentor, to lead and guide, it has a negative effect. And it says, the next one says seven times more likely to become pregnant as a teen.
Right. And you know what? Listen, I don't know who's out there on the highway with pom-poms saying, yeah, we need more teen moms out here or we need more teen dads out here. I don't think that's you can have whatever philosophy you want. But on this show, I'm going to kind of give you what my opinion is. I think that's not a good thing. I don't think kids need to be trying to figure out if they're going to be a cheerleader or they got to find a babysitter for their child. You follow what I'm saying? And so part of what precipitates that, though, is we started again. Over 18 million kids around the U.S. don't have a male father figure in the home. And so one is poverty. The next is an increase in teen pregnancy. What else?
It says you're two times more likely to suffer from obesity.
Yeah, because dad ain't saying get up off that couch.
You better get out that refrigerator.
You know what I'm saying? You know, but
no, I mean, you just ate dinner. Stop drinking all the milk.
Stop drinking all the Kool-Aid. Do they still drink Kool-Aid, man? I know. Remember
I hope not, man. You remember? I think 18.3 million kids have diabetes because of Kool-Aid.
What we did?
Kool-Aid was so bad. What were we thinking, man? How many cavities and diabetes and dental work you had to have?
We had
two cups of sugar for a gallon of Kool-Aid. Two cups of sugar. Holy.
The Kool-Aid guy on there. But we always said we didn't have the name brand stuff, so we didn't have no guy on our packets.
We had Flavor-Aid, homie. That's the Kool-Aid floor droppings, and they sweep it up and put it in the Flavor-Aid. And I was like, Mom, it's only 3 more cents. She's like, put it back. I'm like, okay. So well, then at least I got to go to my dad's. I was like, I'm going to get some Kool-Aid over here.
Get some Kool-Aid. It's funny because, you know, you tear that package off and you put it in there, and all that is just for the coloring. Really, you're getting all the rest of it from the sugar, the 2 pounds pretty of sugar much, that you put right. in there.
At least on the Kool-Aid pack, you had the points, and you could save up for like a Mountain Dew shirt for 14,000 points. Like, how much Kool-Aid do you have to buy to get a 14,000 Kool-Aid points? You can put them in an envelope.
You're good, brother, because I'm thinking about, you know, when we had all six of the seven kids living with us, times was tight. It was tight. You know, I haven't always been a multi, you know, comma income earner. Right. Well, we've always, even to this day, bought the off brand cereal to this day. Like, instead of Fruit Loops, you get the big bag of Fruit Rings. Or, you know, instead of Frosted Flakes, it's Frosted, you know, wafers or whatever. You know what I mean? And now, you know, I tried to buy the kids for a season. I tried to buy them like the name brand stuff. They won't eat it.
Wow.
Their palates have gotten used to the off brand, to the Flavor-Aid version of cereal.
Nice. Good job, man. That's awesome.
So anyway, we talked about obesity, and, you know, that's important because dads are the consummate coach. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's the first coach that their kids see in their life. What are some other statistics? You got any more?
Yeah, it's a few more. It says, It says 2 more times likely to drop out of high school, more likely to face neglect or abuse. and more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol.
Right. And when you look, when you tailor it back, you know, and this is why, you know, when we're talking about what we see going on in society, Mike.
Right.
And then, you know, it's like, well, it's this type of violence. It's this type of location. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So I was raised in the hood. I mean, it don't get no more hood than what I was raised in. You was down there in Miami, but okay. So what's the difference? And it's already going to be hard,
right?
But you get a fighting chance.
Sure. True.
When there's a father around.
And no doubt. And to kind of pivot on that, there's hoods in every state, every city.
Right.
You know, but just the mere removal or non-existence of a father, it has such an impact. And, you know, it's a miracle, Chris, like yourself and people we know in circles we have, that they overcome those odds without a father in the picture. And like those two girls you had on, I mean, that's a miracle of God that, you know, that he works it out, you know, and, yeah. And people are not, they're not doomed, but it's just giving like, hey, this is a no kidding assessment of what effects not having a dad can have.
Right. You know, so. you think about a track star. It doesn't mean that the track star can't win, but right. They definitely are not starting at the same line with those that have a home intact or have a father right. in the home. You know, you can right. be Usain Bolt and start back 10 feet from the rest of the pack and still come back and win. But I'm just going to tell you, it's going to be harder it's going to be a greater challenge. And this is why, listen, I know that being a father, I have made some colossal mistakes. Have you?
Oh my goodness. I can think of a funny story when I got upset and Livia was doing something and I gave her a spanking or something. You know, of course that's taboo nowadays, but
right.
I was very upset, you know, and I remember Camille telling me, "You're crazy." And I was like, you know, and I know I way overreacted, you know. And anyways, so yeah, I mean, I've made a lot of mistakes, you know, and you learn from them. And one thing, when you're a parent, when you start out, it's like there's no handbook, right?
Right.
So you don't really know what you're doing. And it's like one day, I like it to one day, you know, you're single, it's all about you. And then bam, you have a child that you're responsible for. It's like the magic of life just instantly changes where you're like, holy crap, I'm responsible for this living person.
Right.
And I need to step up, you know, and so it's, you know, it gets real quick, but then the stages of development, you know, parenting, mentoring, doing things, you're working all the time. I mean, it just goes up and it goes on and on, man.
Well,
and
you know,
I struggle with one. So you had seven and yeah. People had other kids. I look up to people like that because I struggle with one.
You know, the thing about it is when you talk about looking back, here we are, you know, we're cresting the hill of our 40s, ladies and gentlemen. We're going over into the land of darkness. When you get into, I guess when you get into your 50s, it's just like there's no hope anymore. But when I talk about, you know, I made some colossal mistakes as a father, you're right. And I'm not talking about life and death mistakes, but realizing, you know, especially having the lady that comes on our show who does Pumped Up Parenting, she really kind of illuminated me to some things that, man, I wish I could get back. But there, even with all of those mistakes, I think this is where I was trying to go the long way around getting to this point.
Right.
Even with all of those mistakes, being in their lives was still far better than being extracted. Agree?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I agree 100%. And you know, Chris, you know my story, but I'll share just some snippets of it. That my daughter, unfortunately, she had to go back and forth like I did as a child. And I'll share with the audience that it's real personal. But you know, I felt guilty for a lot of years over that. That you know, my daughter had to go through that, right? Mm-hmm. But then I came to a point in my life where I said, you know, if God, you know, forgives me, then I need to forgive myself. And so there was a lot of healing and praying that I had to do to get to a good place with that. And then I just pivoted to the resolve and the resilience to say, I'm going to be a good dad in spite of a daughter living in California for 9 months for 6 years straight. And I mean, I missed her. And this was before we had technology. So it was writing letters. It was calling. It was going to see her, flying out there. Many adventures of flying. You know, you were telling me all the adventures of flying. That's where all that started, flying across the country and different adventures with flying and with Olivia.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, but, you know, I stuck to it. I made it work. I overcame many obstacles. And, you know, I was present as much as I could possibly be. And I was involved as much as I could possibly be. And, you know, it was worth it, you know. Right. And there's so many fathers out there. What touches me, there's so many fathers out there that they let their circumstance dictate their choices as to be that active father.
Right.
You know, let's be real. You know, situations, relationships are difficult. A lot of people just say, oh, I throw my hands up, I give up. Well, you're giving up something that you can't get back.
Right.
And it's so serious. And I know it's hard. I know it's tough. I get it.
Well, you know,
I'm not judging anybody.
I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about that, Mike. You know, you and I, even though I am the big brother in this relationship, you and I still are, you know, in the same age category. And, sure. And you know, having children young, becoming a father young, you know, I became a father at 18 years old and, right. You know, I'm barely out of the social services system. And here I am, I can't even take care of myself, let alone, you know, another human being. And, right. And you're right. You know, there was some, you know, I moved all the way here to North Carolina. So I've had to work on that over the past 28 years. This boy about right. to be 28. My goodness, my oldest son, Chris, about to be 28. You know that, hey man, I wasn't, you know, I was here for my other six, but man, for this guy right here, I'm just like, man, he didn't get nearly the touch time that my other six did. And it was something that I beat myself up for years, Black.
Right, I get that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, man, right. I should have did more. I could have did more. But then I realized the gift of reconciliation, sure. You know, especially as these kids get older and, you know, you have an opportunity to grow together. Like, man, I'm sorry, brother. I was young and dumb. I know that ain't an excuse. But I was sure. young. I was young and immature and didn't know how to get on first base, let alone how to take care, how to do right as a father. But then as we've grown together, you know, our relationship is far closer now than what it was back then. Sure. But you bring up something that I want to talk about after we go to the break, Mike. You bring up something that I want to deal with, and you had to deal with, and we're going to spend a little bit of time on this.
Sure.
Where you were a father, and we're going to try to be respectful. We're going to try to talk neutral. So I know we have people watching this show from all across the country, so it could cross-pollinate into some folks that you and I know.
Right.
But you had to experience some difficulties that were laid out and roadblocks that were artificial that made it harder for you to have a robust relationship at times with your daughter. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm getting
right.
at?
For
and,
sure.
And I've got a cousin who is going through that exact same thing where, you know, his son's mother is making it difficult because their relationship wasn't good. You know, right. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, the relationship, you gotta not try to ruin the relationship with the child and their father just because y'all relationship didn't work out, if that makes
right.
sense.
And makes so, perfect sense.
Yeah, so in just a few moments, we'll be back on Impact Life 24/7. We were talking about fatherhood and the power of fatherhood. And I really thank Mike Black, my co-host, for coming on with me. And we also thank our sponsors. So at this time, we're just going to take a moment and hear a word from our sponsors. The podcast that you're listening to, Impacting Life 24/7, is brought to you in part by our dynamic and amazing sponsors who continue to support us, impacting one life one day at a time. Our gold sponsors, Michelle Perry, she is the host of the Successful Diligence podcast, and she is the best-selling author of The Pebble in My Shoe. You can connect with Michelle and get a copy of her book at successfuldiligence.com. Paula Cusone has dedicated her life to volunteering in community youth programs such as the Young Marines. Paula believes that the greatest asset each young person can have is at least one caring adult in their life. Our platinum sponsors are Mr. Greg Smith. He is the author of 100 Simple Ways How to Manage a Property and Evidence Room. Get your copy today of his new release book by reaching out to Gregory Smith on Facebook or email him at smithg1963@yahoo.com. Adrian Barker. She is the host of the Adrian Barker Speaks podcast. She is a dynamic life coach and CEO of Professional Global Etiquette. Everything and anything that Adrian Barker touches prospers. Please connect with her at professionalglobaletiquette.com. Mr. Mike Black from New Bern, North Carolina, helps men throughout Eastern Carolina lead a faith-filled life. He is a compassionate leader in his church and is a devoted husband and father. Dr. Nate Dunlap Jr., he is the executive director of the PRF Institute. He is the author of What's Next? Preparing for Eternity and Don't Leave Me Like This, Inspiration to Leave a Legacy. As a 501c3 nonprofit organization, the PRF Institute is blessed to be that premier stewardship-based teaching ministry that truly responds to the needs of families and communities around the country. Find Dr. Dunlap and his amazing team at prfinstitute.org. Poet Katrina McCain, she is the author of Because She Decided to Love. And this is a collection of poetry and prose about love and its impact on every relationship. This raw and uncut poetry book addresses the themes of how we experience love through many different circumstances, such as loss, hurt, and pain. Because She Decided to Love takes readers through a journey from the sweetest to the most bitter emotions that love evokes. Get your copy today at poetkatrinamccain.com. Dr. Skip Mondragon II. He is a 26-year Army veteran, National Veterans Wrestling Champion, and a dynamic speaker. He is the author of Wrestling Depression is Not for Wimps. Lessons learned from an amateur wrestler's fight to triumph over depression. Contact him at wrestlingisnotforwimps.com. The Underdog Ninja Foundation. This was founded by Javi and Jessica Madrigal in 2020. They're a husband and wife team that have been battling and overcoming heart disease for 18 years. Their personal story and experiences have led them to follow the calling of empowering, educating, and supporting those fighting heart disease. Contact this amazing couple and team at underdogninja.org. If you would like to become a sponsor of our international podcast, Impacting Life 24/7, which can be heard around the world, simply go to clkingspeaker.com. We'd love to partner with you. Yeah, thank you to all of our sponsors. Mike, I put you on mute, but I think you're good now. We thank you to all of our sponsors to help us with this mission. Like Mike and I said early on when we were cutting up in the beginning of the show, man, it has progressed a long way from where we started, and we've got even more to go. I was talking with some of my team about new lighting. Definitely got to get a new chair. Lord have mercy. I'm sitting in this chair. It is wore out its welcome. I think I've wore out my welcome on the chair, Mike.
I'm telling you, man, you need to get a good chair, man.
Yeah, man. And so, but beyond that, beyond my comfort, we continue to strive for higher definition quality sound, as well as the visual experience for our live audience. We're blessed to have two audiences that support us and listen to this simultaneously, our live audience, as well as our podcast audience. And that is all, you know, made possible by our sponsors. So if you'd like to become a sponsor, it's very simple. Go to clkingspeaker.com. There's three very easy levels to become a sponsor. Of course, in that commercial, it doesn't mention my name, but my actually several in my family are sponsors, to include myself. I sponsor on all three levels. So we believe in this purpose and this mission, and that is to impact one life one day at a time. Before we went to the break, we were talking about, Mike, your relationship in a long distance relationship with your daughter, because she was in California. But let's talk, and you can talk to this from some experience, and I can speak to it too from things that I've saw. But, you know, fathers who are trying to be engaged in their kids' lives, but the other parent is making it difficult. What do you got to say about that?
So basically, you know, a lot of people, I think, at least the good dads out there, I know you're out there, many of you, when you're dealing with a difficult ex, you know, there are times when, obviously, you know, you allude to it, Chris, that they make it difficult for you to see your child. A lot of times, you know, what I found is taking a step back and just evaluating the situation, but always, you know, do the best you can when you can. And also, as the children age, as long as you're in their life and you're doing the best you can and it's positive, they will grow up eventually and learn what's what, mm-hmm. right? And so right. One of the biggest lessons I've had to, you know, mistakes, you talked about mistakes earlier, is that you don't talk bad about the other parent,
right?
Ever. You know, it's always, I understand how you do it at your mom's house, but this is how we do it in this house.
Right.
And, you know, it took me a long time to learn that. And of course I made mistakes, but you know, you hit on it, that you can make up for those mistakes by saying, hey, I was wrong. I missed that opportunity. You know, and people get angry. I mean, it's human emotion. I mean, it's all there. It's real.
Right.
But stick in there. If I could tell anybody out there, trust me, I know about difficult and adversity, and stick with it, because it is well worth it in the end. And, you know, just be encouraged. I know, trust me, I know it's difficult. And I know there's a lot of dads out there that want to be involved, but it's very difficult.
Right.
And a lot of dads give up. And unfortunately, the kid catches it.
Yeah, it's the kid that suffers.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, ultimately.
The kid suffers. You know what I mean?
Kids that suffer. Now, so, one thing that I like to discuss, and Mike and I didn't do a rehearsal or anything. I said I wanted us to talk from our heart, because here's why I felt like a show on fatherhood is important. Because fathers, we want you to know that you're important. Dads, we want you to know that you're valued. Regardless of whatever the dynamic is, whether you're in the home, whether you're married, or whatever the case may be, if you have a child or children, you're valuable, and you are the consummate anchor in that child's life. It, you know, I can't be the mom to my kids that Charity is. That's God didn't create me to be a mom. He created me to be a dad. And when you dads, listen to me now, when you are not in your children's life, and when you don't take an active role in their life, you're forcing the mom to walk in a role that she wasn't created to be in. She's having to wear a dual hat, being mom and dad. And that's just out of order. But I will say this, Mike, when you talk about parenting as a father,
right?
You got a girl, I've got girls,
right?
And I have boys.
Right.
Is it a challenge as a dad to be to parent a daughter? And what are some of the challenges? You didn't know I was going to ask you this question, but I've been thinking about it all day, brother. I've been planning this all week.
Yes, I was ready for it.
As Denzel said. Yeah. Yes. What are some challenges or some pluses? You know, let's look at both sides. Let's not make it all negative. But what are some dynamics of parenting a young lady?
So I tell you what I've experienced is that from a young age, I knew that I had to teach Olivia the art of backwards planning. And I learned this from my father, right?
All right.
Now, backwards planning means this, is that you don't wait till the child, I say boy or girl, you don't wait till the child is 13 and you're beating them out of bed. You know, you tell them at 5 and 6, here's how you set an alarm. Pick out your clothes for tomorrow. Pack your lunch, because in my situation, daughter was with me every summer. I still had to work and she would go to summer camp.
Right.
And so everything was organized, and it was crazy because as she was younger, you know, wanting to wear, she'd come out and say, Dad, I'm going to wear this. I'm like, no, you're not.
No, you ain't going out of this house with that on.
I'm like, go back in your room and try again. So she'd come out and the pants would be ridiculous and the shirt would be okay. And then the backpack, vice versa. Yeah. And I'm like, this is why we do this the night before, because there ain't no time in the morning to be doing this crazy nonsense. You know?
Right, right.
But women tend, girls tend to be more strong-headed, to where they start, you know, I don't want to say they develop faster than boys, but they do. And then all of a sudden, then they know everything. And then you have to kind of bring them down a notch and say, wait a minute, you sound like you need an attitude adjustment to get some of that bass out of your voice.
Yeah, who do you think you're talking to?
And you need to rephrase
right
that question, or however you spoke.
Right.
Must have bumped your head or something. I don't know. But it's very much, you know, the nuances are, you know, girls develop faster than boys, I believe. And, but then it's like there's that emotions, you know, and you have to reassure them. So I think that's, you know.
Well, what did you think about being, you know, because we hear this a lot, being the first man in Olivia's life, because there's a lot to that, you know,
right?
Like, are they going to, do you want them to pick a man like you? I would hope, minus all my flaws. Okay. Put them up on the wall so y'all can all see them. All Ken's flaws,
sure.
But minus all that, I would hope that my daughters saw some qualities in me that they would have as a measurement for the man,
sure,
the man that they picked. Did you feel that weight and that responsibility?
I mean, I did feel that way. And I think that how I conveyed it to Olivia at a young age was snippets of things that I would tell her, like on a regular, like I would tell her, guard your heart. Don't be in a hurry. You know, if you're going to have a boyfriend, have about 4 or 5 of them. Don't get serious.
Right.
I mean, seriously, I wanted you to have, I had 5 or 6 girlfriends when I was young. Why couldn't she have 5 or 6 boyfriends? Just right. Don't be serious, right?
Right.
And then I would also tell her, you know, make sure you're looking for a man that works, that is, you know, going to take care of you, that is, you know, serious. And, you know what I'm saying? So I would always kind of whisper those things and tell her those things. And the frequency would be like, you know, trying to get to her to open up, say, I like so-and-so. Or I would tell her, I see you hanging out with so-and-so. Y'all just friends or whatever. Oh, yeah, Dad, we're just friends. Okay, that's cool. And I don't want to say I never made a big deal out of it, but I didn't. I didn't make a big deal out of it. I just tried to communicate and talk with her about it, you know? So I didn't make an issue. I made it more like comfortable to where she could talk to me about these things. And I always wanted to have that where she felt she could tell me things,
right,
and not, oh, I don't want to tell Dad. He's going to be mad. He's going to fly off the handle and flip out.
Right.
No, I just, you know. And I wasn't perfect. I'm not saying I was, but that's kind of how I approached it. I just really tried to be really low key and nonchalant. You know,
as a father, you know, I echo what you're saying. As a father, I've had the privilege of parenting boys and girls. My wife asked me the other day, which gender is easier to parent. What do you think I said?
Girls.
No. Boys are easy because boys are just, you know, boys are kind of black and white. You know what I mean?
Okay.
They're not a lot of emotions.
Right.
And my daughters helped me to understand, you know, that I couldn't approach them. And, you know, you got two genders living in the house. I couldn't approach my daughters like I approached my sons.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because if I'm not even like this anymore. Greg used to call me Joe Jackson because I wanted my kids to succeed. I wanted to push them a little bit, and you know, he called me Joe Jackson. But I'm not that anymore. But
it sounds funny when he says it, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
And I wish he would have given me like an example.
Oh, man,
of how you were Joe Jackson on your kids.
Yeah, well, you know, especially when it comes to music, because all of them are musically talented. So I was, you know, I was just like, man, let's practice more. We was performing all over the place. And so he was calling me Joe Jackson. We just didn't make Joe Jackson money. Greg says daughters are more fun to parent, it appears. Well, here's what I'm saying. It's two different dynamics. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not necessarily showing the finish line to your daughters. What I mean by that is the hope is that you're preparing them to be somebody's wife. You know what I'm saying? Right. You're preparing them. You're showing them love and you're nurturing them and you're showing them what a relationship is. The father is the first relationship in the daughter's life. But the boys are a little different. The boys are like, you know, we're conquest driven and the finish line is there. You know what I mean? Like, okay, everybody is already before they finish, you know, playing the ruffles and flourishes or whatever they play at the graduation when the kids walk out. You know, dads is already looking at the boys like, okay, so you signed up with the recruiter yet? You at the college? You punching the clock? What are you doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, what's your plan, homie?
Yeah, what's your plan? I done broke your plate. You ain't got no place to eat no more. So what you got?
You broke the kid's plate, man. I mean, thank God the kid can't even eat a sandwich.
Brother
man.
Can't eat a sandwich unless you go kick it into the kitty for me to get you another one. So
you really are Joe Jackson, man. That's just cold, man.
But I'm teasing.
The kid can't have a sandwich. I know.
But I'm saying is that, you know, that has been my thought process. But I've realized that I had to also, as dad, teach my daughters about the finish line too.
Sure.
In other words, if you're broke down on the side of the road, I want you to know that, hey, check the water, check this, check that, check the tire pressure. I want you to be able to know that so that you can take care of yourself. I don't want them saying, I don't need no man. That's not the point. But I do want you to be able to stand up on your own two feet. And so it's a different dynamic. I think that's just the best way for me to describe it. You see it that way?
Yeah, I do, but I'd like to throw a wrench on it and kind of add to what you were saying is that when you have a child that, you know, doesn't have no siblings, so you have that one, you know, that dynamic, mm-hmm. is that I feel like that, I know that I, one of the mistakes I made was kind of overcompensating because I didn't want her to be selfish. So I always preached to her, it's about others. But when you don't have, when you're an only child and you don't have siblings, it's very hard to, it's all about you.
Yeah. She's like, what do you mean it's about others?
So what do you mean you're going to go hang out with Chris? What are you going to do with me? And it's like, Chris is my friend and you can stay here and read a book. I don't care what you do.
Right.
You know,
right.
But it's that dynamic is that I always was mindful of that to say, I want her to be number one sociable. I want her to be able to have friends and, you know, this kind of thing. Right.
Right.
And one big thing I did that I think really impacted her, don't judge when I say this, people out there, is my daughter didn't have a TV in her room her whole childhood. She did not have a TV in her room. Mm-hmm. And so that was intentional. Wife and I talked about that with all this garbage on TV, mm-hmm. we knew she was going to watch it outside the home and get a bunch of it anyways. But, you know, she read in her room, she wrote, she did her homework, you know, so from an early age, it was consistent.
Right.
And she was an honor student and did really well in school. I mean, college, you know, so I think that paid dividends. But yeah, no TV and in her room. Now she watched TV in the living room. So right. I wasn't like a total crazy person. But you know, when it's when you're only child, it is different. That's a different dynamic than when you have siblings. So
yeah, you brought
and up. they write books about that. The oldest child, the middle child, the youngest child. They write books on that.
You brought up a good point there, man. I forgot. Olivia, ladies and gentlemen, is super sweet. She in fact, I've used some of her work. She's got a little side hustle she does from time to time, photography. She's a sweet young lady. And Mike, let me just tell you, in front of the whole entire galaxy, brother, you did a great job with that young lady. She's in the Army now. She's down there in Alaska, right?
Yes, sir. She says we're the lower 48, how they say it.
Yeah.
And I said, so that does it make you the upper one? How do you say it? We're reversed.
I don't know, man. But
she's way up there. She said it was like negative 30 when she showed up over there. I'm like, oh, Lordy.
Negative 30. Wow.
She said it was cold. So
Greg says, Greg says, we followed the school bus for 3 days, then decided to just drive her to school every day. Because Greg, because you know, Greg has an only child too. Greg's daughter is his only daughter. So, and you know, you and Greg have similar demeanors. Y'all are calm and chill. I'm more like, I guess, Joe Jackson. I don't know what I kind
of was. Veins popping out of your neck. You know, when you say that, I'm like, I've seen that. And I'm like, not a pretty look.
Jumping off stage with my hair on fire.
And I'm like, yo, man, why are you so mad? What can we do to resolve this?
Yeah, right. Now, when we talk about preparing our kids, which is an important element of fatherhood, I think what I've tried to tell my sons, I've tried to use typology. Typology is important. It helps you to maybe get the point across. You know, Jesus used parables, so I use a lot of that when I'm talking to my sons. I've always talked to them, and you was at Chris's graduation, so you saw the blanket that I got him with the lion and the lion cub. And I've always told him that, listen, son, there will come a day when you have to leave the lion pride as a male. Right. As a male. Right. Now, in nature, the reason why is because the male cub turns and he starts getting the fur around his collars, and he's supposed to be in charge of his own pride.
Right.
You see, so he begins to challenge the authority of the dad only because it's in his nature to be a leader.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying? And right. So I've tried to use the other point of the lion pride with my daughters that, listen, the men think they so bad, they the king of the jungle, but it's the women that go out and hunt and kill it and bring it back. So we don't need, y'all better step up, because you see that dead carcass over there, it's because of us. And,
right.
And you know, that typology is that, listen, man, we're loaned these children, Mike. We're loaned these human beings, brother, for just a short amount of time.
Sure.
And as fathers,
right,
you know, important what you just said. You're a very analytical teacher, but don't you think that it's important that fathers teach? Because you're a teacher in your child's life. Do you agree?
Oh, 100%. You are their first teacher, and you model, you know, what they should be in life, and they take their cues and they watch you. Believe that your children are watching you.
Right.
They watch you in your good moments, bad moments, vulnerable moments. You can't get one over on these kids, man. And they're so smart. I think about, you said something earlier, just touching up for a second, about teaching your daughters how to be independent. And one of the things that Olivia said to me that I was just felt so happy and joyful as a dad, she says, Dad, I know that I'm a woman and I want a man and a husband, but I'm independent.
Right.
And so I'm so glad I taught her to be independent, where she can stand on her own 2 feet, but she knows, you know, the spiritual and the godly realm of it as her role as a woman.
Right.
It's very much, you know, that's what's up. That's where it's at. I mean, you have to know, when you say know your role, if people take it the wrong way, like it's demeaning. It's not demeaning.
Right.
It's living as God intended you to live and be happy.
Right.
And fulfill and be a fulfilled person. So it's not anything bad at all.
So when we think about Father's Day, we have decided that, you know, we may very well just make, around here on Impact Life 24/7, we may just make it Father's Month, because, you know, they're all, I mean, if you look on the calendar in various circles, there's a day or there's a month for everything. And so I'm just like, you know what? I want dads to know that they're important, and I want them to know that they matter. And I wanted to spend time, you know, talking about the necessity of engagement with your offspring and with your children. You know, married fathers, you're right, Katrina, they're watching everything we do. And if you're married, your boys are going to watch how you treat their mother.
Right.
And your girls are going to watch how you treat their mother.
Right.
Right. It's as a dad. So we try to make it a policy around here, and it's worked. I mean, I've screamed in the pillow, but we don't do a bunch of yelling and hollering and screaming around here, you know,
sure.
Because I want them to know that this is the type of household that is, it's a nourishing place. It's a nurturing place. And you know, dad's not going to treat your mom like a doormat or scream at her or treat her, talk to her wrong. And don't get a man that's going to do that to you.
No doubt.
And sons, don't you dare do that to some other lady.
Right.
And so you said, yeah, it's important that we're their teachers and we're always modeling. But how was the transition for you, Mike, when you went from, this was probably the hardest thing for me. You went from, you know, pushing them on the swing, you know what I mean? Taking them on a bike ride to get ice cream.
Yeah.
And then there was that shift, right, where you wasn't nearly as cool no more.
Sure.
Right? You were corny, you were bald, you know what I mean? They were embarrassed of you.
Sure.
But you still had to be an influencer. How did you make that transition?
So, I mean, obviously because I was, you know, blessed and cursed at the same time, you want to say that I didn't see her for 9 months. It's more or less that transition was easier for me, but also it was, I think her and I, you know, seeing me and Olivia, we could have not seen each other for 8 months. And if you've seen us together, you would have no clue that we hadn't seen each other that long. So we just kind of picked back up with each other. But I think the transition started happening at 15 or 16. And of course, under North Carolina, you had to do 80 hours of driving with an adult. You know, so I did a whole 80 hours of driving with her.
Oh, man.
And this child had a heavy foot. And I kept telling her, what's the speed limit, Olivia? Slow down. What's the speed limit? Slow down. You know, and I remember saying that to her a lot. Of course, she got speeding tickets, whatever. So, you know.
We'll parenthetically insert that part too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, leave the other part out. I was about to say it, but okay. But so I think it was, I'm thankful to her that she let me down easy. Because it was like, yeah, dad, I'm going to have to put you on my calendar. And how about we hang out, you know, next Wednesday? And then, you know, I found myself, you know, feelings hurt. Of course, I didn't tell her that. But right. Then I'm like, sure, I'd love to clear my schedule for next Wednesday and make time for you 2 hours, you know. Okay, see you next month. And I'm like, boom.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but yeah, I don't know. It's just the transition for me was like, okay, I'll accept it. If I get 2 hours with you, I'll enjoy the 2 hours and we'll make the most of it, you know, but she's busy, you know, it's like school. She was working 2 or 3 jobs before she joined the Army. I would see that child like every 2 weeks, maybe.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that, I'm just drawing a blank, y'all. And it's not because of unimportance. It's just because my mind is not nearly as sharp as it was years ago. But again, the lady and the guest who I've had, my friend, I just can't think of her name right now. So much of her friend. Huh? she is the creator of Pumped Up Parenting. And she said that you're not raising children.
Right.
You're raising adults. And,
right.
And that, you know, having her on the show twice, the first time it really sunk in with me because I was trying to, you know, I was trying to hold on to my kids, and freeze them in a time period that I was stuck in.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, dad is nostalgic. You know what I mean? I still want to do Dr. Seuss and, you know what I mean?
Right.
Make the cookies.
Right.
And watching your kids, like, that's not the realm that they're in anymore. She said that, she's like, you're raising an adult. You're not.
Right.
You got to let your child grow up.
Sure.
And you got to let them make some mistakes. You got to let them experience life. That's a tough one. You know, Greg says speeding tickets. Connie went through 4 cars and the last dealer said, maybe Mr. Smith, she isn't meant to drive.
Whoa, man.
Mariah, same way. Mariah's heavy footed. She was the first kid to get a ticket. She was the first kid to get into a wreck. I'm just like, Mariah lives out loud. You know what I'm saying? but again, it's like, okay, these are, and as a father, you say, okay, we dust you off. You learn. I had Mariah pay her speeding ticket. I didn't pay it for her. I said, I want you to feel that. I want you to feel that little pinch next time you want to put your pedal to the metal, right?
No doubt. I remember the same thing. Olivia got her ticket And I said, you want me to ride with you to the courthouse so you can pay that ticket? I said, I'm not finna pay that ticket. I wasn't speeding. I said, but I'll go with you for moral support. And you watch, and when you watch that $125 come out your bank account,
yes, sir.
I hope it's painful. Because she was working at Little Caesars at the time. And you know that check was like $128.
Oh, yeah.
Like $3 left. And I was like, And she's like, Dad. So I'm like, yeah.
Well, you know, and it? Mike, that's an important issue relative to fatherhood is that, yeah. You know, we're responsible for that balance, you know, like, right. Like if, you know, I don't want to say that if something, you know, if they got into a really big situation that I would just be like, well, figure it out for yourself. You an adult, you know, right. Because I always wanted that growing up as a kid that I knew that my family would be there for me. It's a difference in right. being, it's a difference in being there for them and giving them a sense of entitlement and enabling bad behavior. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so I haven't gotten a speeding ticket since 1998.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you say 1900?
Yes. Yes, sir. I just wanted to be emphasized. I ain't got a speeding ticket in the 21st century. And my daughter gets the car within the first year. She got a
wow.
And you know what she didn't know? She didn't know that as soon as you pop on that radar and they give you that ticket, guess what comes in the mail like 2 or 3 days later?
Lawyers.
All of lawyers, envelopes sure. saying, yeah, we were glad to give you our services.
Oh my goodness. And tell the audience, you know, everybody should know about the prayer for judgment. But I remember telling Olivia, oh no, the lady was telling her, do you want to do the prayer for judgment? And she goes, if you do that and you get a ticket, assuming this time the other ones come back. So she's looking at me. I'm like, you don't want to got the ticket. Uh-huh. What you going to do?
Yeah. Prayer for judgment, girl. You better pray on.
I think she got another ticket and then two tickets actually went back. I can't remember, but I think that's what happened. And she's like, I shouldn't have done that. I said, you should have got it reduced. Mm-hmm. 7 points over. Pay your little 3 points on your license.
And get on with it. Hey, what's up, Augie? Augie is saying hello from Waterloo, Iowa. Man, wasn't that a famous battle there in Waterloo? So Augie, as you guys know, he should be like the show mascot. We should get like a really cool muscular dude that's him. That's Augie. He's a bodybuilder. So we should get like a cartoon figure of him though and make him the mascot of the show. Augie travels all across the country keeping the shelves stocked, and we love and appreciate Augie here on Impact Life 24/7. Katrina said, my son had an accident the first day to driving school. Car was completely totaled. Well, I'm glad that he's okay, but right. Man, that's one way to start out at driving school. Oh, by the way, Mom, I ain't got nothing to drive. Man, that's something. Yeah. So fatherhood, right. Fatherhood, ladies and gentlemen, is, you know, I hope that we have presented this palatable. Mike, I'm going to give you got some more thought, your closing thoughts that you want to offer on stuff that you put down?
Sure. I mean, it's just a couple little points.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah. So a couple of points is that another statistic from the Lifeway Research Group, Promise Keepers and Baptist Press, right? And it says when both parents attend a Bible study, specifically Sunday school, 72% of children will attend church. When only fathers attend Sunday school, 55% of the children will attend church, and it goes down from there. And so as a man of faith, you know, I took my daughter to church every time the door was open, mm-hmm. and it just, it paid its dividends. And I liken it to say that I'm definitely an imperfect being, flawed to the max. And so teaching her my faith and showing her God's love as the Heavenly Father, you know, it bridges the gap and it makes up for a lot of my obviously shortcomings. But
right.
I thought that was an interesting statistic that when you, you know, take your children to church, you know, there's a good chance that when they get older, they won't turn from it. And I don't know the exact Bible verse, but
train up a child in the way that they should go. That's right.
That's right. So I feel like that, you know, that's one thing I did well. You know, I took her to church as much as I could, and she always had a church family, and you know, so
yeah.
I know that made an impact.
Well, you know, and here's the deal, man. Like I said, people can argue with methods, but they cannot argue with results. And right. I think having a faith component in your life, having a walk with God, having a belief beyond what's right in front of you, is so essential, because you know what, you're teaching what you said that you taught to Olivia. It is about others. It ain't just about, it's not just about you. And your dependency is not just exclusively on yourself. You got one more point?
Okay. Good,
well, that's good. I really like that you put that in there. We are unapologetic about our faith. We're not dogmatic and make you think you got to believe like we believe or believe like I believe. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, I'm right all the time. But that doesn't mean that you have to believe. That doesn't mean that you have to believe like me.
and I know better.
Mike, am I right all the time, brother? Do I think I'm right all the time? Is the question.
Of course. And when you're wrong, it's easily correctable.
What'd you say? When I'm wrong?
When you're wrong, it's easily correctable.
Who's wrong? Me or you?
No, I said when you're wrong, it's easily correctable.
Well, that's true. You know. We got to make up for the chess game that you cheated on when we did live when you was over here. And this is how cool Mike is. He came over to hang out with us on Chris's graduation. And the brother was too scared to drive home, so we had to spend the night. And he brought over, as a grown man, he brought over a onesie and a cute little blanket and a pacifier. I was just so cool. I was so
So the matching onesie that you had, make sure you tell the audience that, you know, you have a matching onesie like I do. And you're never too old to have a sleepover, people. I'm a dad. I'm having sleepovers with my buddy, my friend. What's wrong with that?
I know my wife and your daughters is like, Dad, what's wrong with you? Grown people don't have sleepovers no more. I say, yes, we do, because guess what? I got friends. Now, listen.
Yes, we do.
I got a small circle of friends, but the friends that I have, they can sleep over.
Right. And you know, you gave me the couch, and I had that big old pillow, the one you didn't, you know. Yeah.
So anyway, we talked about fatherhood, man. To obviously, that's an exhaustive topic, but I do want you to know that all dads out there, you matter. You're important. And if it's been a relationship strain, you know, if there's been a strain in your relationship with your kids, it never is too late. It's never too late. As long as there's breath, there's hope. You got any final thoughts, Black?
Yeah, final thoughts, man. All the dads out there, I know so many people that dads out there that stay the course, you know, do the best you can, you know, and it's well worth it in the end. It's well worth it. So be encouraged, praying for you. Love you.
Yeah, we love you too. And so that's been a wrap. This is it for me, Mike. You know, this is the end of my work week, which I don't know if you could necessarily call what I do work. It's passion. I love it. And I'm thankful for you to help me co-host this show. I'm going to turn it over to you one day for you to do the whole thing yourself. And that ought to be a sight. Because you know, when you do a live show, when you got technology involved, it's always going to go bad on the day you got to do it, you know?
Wow. I know that's true.
Just so you know, I mean, I remember I had the chief, the deputy chief of Charlotte Mecklenburg as a guest on, and I couldn't get the internet to work. I was so embarrassed. I was royally embarrassed. But that's Greg says that's showbiz. We got to keep the show going. And we're approaching 200 episodes on Impacting Life 24/7, Mike. Almost 200 episodes. And we look at the analytics, and God has really favored us. And we're just going to continue to make this a safe place for people to come, share their life's impact, share their life story of overcoming adversity. We want people to want to come back. And everyone we invite back, they come back, brother. So I'm glad that we've created this environment, and it's because of friends like you that have helped us. It's also because of all of you listening out there on Impacting Life 24/7 podcast and our live environment. Thank you so much. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Katrina. Thank you, Danny. And of course, thank you, Mike. We will talk to you guys again on Monday. Hope you have a good night.
Bye, everybody.
Take care.